Today's talk is the second in a series on world religions, and we are speaking about Native American spirituality, as you may have guessed. So I ask, how many people in this room have any Native American blood? Do you know what tribe?
Cherokee.
I'm not sure.
Anyone else? Well, according to family myth, I'm 1/16th Blackfoot, which I thought I was Cherokee until I was 52 years old, and my aunt corrected me. I had to give up the Trail of Tears. I had to give up Cherokee Nation. Anyhow, Native American spirituality is usually not included in books about world religions, and yet it is very important in our American culture. It is part of us. It is in our collective unconscious, or as Charles Fillmore would say, in our race mind. And there's a story about Charles Fillmore when he was a boy in Minnesota that he disappeared for several days and they couldn't find him. When he came back, I'm not sure whether he had amnesia and did not remember where he was or would not tell. I don't know why, but rumor has it he was kidnapped by the shamans of a local tribe and taught all the mysteries of their spirituality. I'm not betting my own money that that's the truth, but it is what rumor has. We remember that Unity teaches big T truth, capital T truth. This is God as law or principle. This is truth that is unchangeable and eternal. And it is found at the heart of virtually every religion. Some examples of big T truth are oneness, the divinity of humankind, the creative power of thought, and knowing that the greatest power is love. And as we explore some of the Native American teachings today, we'll see that they share many of Unity's big T truths. We'll share much about black elk. If we can have this slide, please. Black Elk Speaks is the acclaimed story of the Lakota visionary and healer who lived from 1863 to 1950. The book is considered a spiritual classic. It was named one of the 10 best spiritual books of the 20th century. Not just Native American spiritual books, of all spiritual books. And in this book, we read about the vision that Black Elk had for the unity of all humankind. And we know that this vision has not yet been realized on our planet. It is said that if you have a discussion about Christianity, you will always mention the teachings of Jesus. And if you are having a discussion about Islam, Muhammad's vision of the angel Gabriel will always be part of that discussion. When Native American spirituality is being discussed, the vision of Black Elk is always included. It is that important. So I wanted to share some of the wisdom teachings from Black Elk and leaders of other tribes, and then we'll look at the big T truth in them. From the Sioux Nation, it is said, "Trouble no man about his religion. Respect him in his view of the Great Spirit, and demand of him that he respect yours. Do not force your religion on anyone." And we know that Unity also respects all religions, and we will not force our beliefs on anyone else. Black Elk said, "For the Great Spirit is everywhere. He hears whatever is in our minds and our hearts." And we too believe in unity, that God is omnipresent, everywhere present, that God is both transcendent and immanent. These are big words that mean God is outside of us and inside of us. The Cherokee Nation teaches that there is no word for God. They call it a great mystery because of its formlessness. And Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, taught that God is spirit, is formless energy, is creative principle, is law, God as law, the big T truth. And the Cherokee teaching continues saying, we each have a duty to cast out our doubt, to turn aside our ignorance, and to realize that the creative principle, the great mystery, is within ourselves. And of course, in unity, we teach the divinity of humankind, the Christ within. The Lakota tradition teaches children are taught to go directly to the source of the great mystery in order to recognize that wisdom and knowledge are from divinity. Children are instructed to wait and listen, and it is believed that a child that cannot sit still is a half-developed child. I don't know about you, but there are days when I'm trying to meditate and I come across as a half-developed child. In unity, we believe that all true knowledge is received directly from the source, through intuition, through inner knowing, through inner spiritual illumination, and that you must sit still and be quiet in meditation in order to receive this divine inner knowledge. Black Elk says, we Indians know the one true God and we pray to him continually. And every week in unity, we assert there is only one presence and one power, God. And we are taught by our way shower to pray without ceasing. The Lakota Nation states, the Great Spirit sketches out the path of life roughly for all the creatures on earth, shows them the way to go and where to arrive at, but it leaves them to find their own way to get there. The Great Spirit wants them to act independently according to their nature. Unity states that we are all here with a divine mission on a divine journey, but it is our free will that will determine how and when we get there. The Shawnee Nation states, do not wrong or hate your neighbor, for it is not him that you wrong. You wrong yourself. You know, I'm reading A Course in Miracles again this year, and that was like the lesson for today. With every attack thought we have, we are attacking ourselves. This is big T truth. It goes throughout spiritual teachings all over the world and down through the ages. In unity, we believe that you reap what you sow, and as you give, so shall it be given unto you. A Cherokee elder asserts, I love this phrase, listen to this, that the body is a robe stitched together by thought, desire, and action. And one of Unity's core beliefs is the law of mind action, that thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. We know all the circumstances of our bodies, our lives, our world are the results of thought and emotion and belief and action. The Cherokee Nation asserts that by your thinking and desire, you will be brought here again and again until you awaken to the sacred light within yourself and every being. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore believed that you and I would reincarnate again and again until we ascend mind, body, and spirit into Christ consciousness. And just one more. Last but not least, this is Black Elk again. Black Elk declares, the first piece, which is the most important, is that which comes within the souls of men. When they realize their relationship, their oneness with the universe and all its powers, and when they realize that at the center of the universe dwells the great mystery, and that this center is really everywhere, it is within each one of us, this is the real peace. And the others are but reflections of this. The second peace is that which is made between two individuals, and the third is that which is made between two nations. But above all, you should understand that there can never be peace between nations until there is first known that true peace, which is within the souls of men and women. And each week, what do we sing at the end of our service? Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Do you know we project on to other people our own fear, our own anger, our own attack thoughts which come back? And in ministerial school, they let us know that ministers, like some other professions, teachers and policemen and even parents, are often the subjects of this projection. And to know that we are never so good as some people think we are, and we are never so bad as others think we are. And for ministers and probably for all of us, our job is to be steadfast, to walk through all the hubbub around us, being that pillar of strength and peace, so that we are not affected by others as they grow into the completion of their divinity. Truth is truth. We find the essence of truth in all religions, and we also find truth seekers and truth teachers. For most Native Americans, that great truth teacher was Black Elk, known for his great vision, which took place when he was only 9 years old. I've often wondered how old Charles Fillmore was when he was kidnapped by the shamans, if that is true. Wouldn't it be interesting if he was 9 when that happened? The vision of Great Elk, of Black Elk, produced many of the major spiritual teachings for his people today. I looked, of course, at many images in Google Images in order to select one for our slide today. This man was beautiful. This man's face was awesome. It held the spark of God in its eyes. You could see that he was born for divinity. He was born with a mission. So, Black Elk had a wonderful phrase, Mi Takua Yea Oyasin, which may be the way it's really pronounced. And it means we are related to all things. We are all related. We are all relatives. And in Black Elk's vision, he was shown the way to this unity, to this oneness for all humankind. And through the sacred power of the peace pipe, through the nation's sacred hoop, and through the flowering tree of divine wisdom and knowledge, here's the tree again, from the garden. So I'd like to share with you the last part of this vision. It is very long, and I would encourage you to get the book and read the entire thing. But we will just read this last part. Black Elk went through 4 ascents to make the center of the nation's hoop alive. He came to a village of sick and starving people and was instructed by a voice. This is capital V, big V, voice. He was told to give the people the flowering stick so that they could flourish, and the pipe so that they would know the power of peace. And when Black Elk placed the bright red stick into the earth, It became a tall cottonwood tree full of birds singing. And after the pipe of peace came flying from the east on eagle's wings, this voice spoke again. It shall be a relative to them, and who shall see it shall see much more, for thence comes wisdom. And those who do not see it shall be dark. Does that remind you? Let him who has ears hear. The great voice then said, behold, the circle of the nations hoop, for it is holy, being endless. And thus all powers shall be one power in the people without end. Now the people shall break camp and go forth upon the good red road, and your grandfathers shall walk with them. And as the people walked forth on the good red road, Black Elk followed, and behind him all the ancestors followed. And the great voice spoke one last time. Behold, a good nation walking in a sacred manner in a good land. Black Elk lived in a time when his people flourished and were free to express the wisdom teaching of the Great Spirit in their lives and in their world. But he also lived in a time when all this changed. A time when Native Americans were no longer free to follow the teachings of the Great Spirit, and they were no longer free to live on their own land. And this great vision outlined all these circumstances of his life, yet it ended with one statement that has not yet been realized, and that is that final declaration from the great voice that said that a good nation will walk in a sacred manner in a good land. And so we who are in unity and all others who teach and practice so many of the same spiritual principles are left with the task of fulfilling Black Elk's vision, that we are one with each other and with all of nature, that every atom of life was created by the Great Spirit and therefore is sacred. We, the living, walking on Mother Earth today, are charged with creating a good nation and walking in a sacred manner in a good land. And thus ends today's lesson. God bless you.